ShareCare, helping you find experts, the top minds in health and medicine. It's ShareCare Radio with Dr. Daria Long Gillespie on RadioMD.com.
Hi, welcome to ShareCare Radio, and it's Dr. Daria. Let's dive into the news of the week, always the very first segment in our show. Our first information today is about immunization rates and the value of having a centralized reminder system. Now, some researchers were studying ways to make sure that more and more children have received the vaccinations that they need to have and making sure they're up to date. So a new study was published in the Journal of American Medical Association Pediatrics, and it was developed by researchers at the University of Colorado School of Medicine at the Anschutz Medical Campus. Now, they used a centralized notification system combined with the public health department and pediatrician practices. It included reminders and recall notification systems for your vaccinations and centralized reminders via mail as well as auto dial. And they compare that to people who just had communication via their doctor's office. The good information was that they found that immunization rates in those people who were receiving communications from the centralized system had immunization rates 25% higher than those who relied only on their doctor's communication. So some really great information for any researcher, for anyone involved in public health, to know that really having a centralized communication system can really encourage parents to make sure that their children are up to date on their vaccines, and something I'm sure we'll be hearing more about. Also, while we're talking measles, and that's a team from Boston Children's Hospital, applied some statistical analysis to look at the measles outbreak from Disneyland, and they determined that the major driving force was, as we had really suspected, inadequate vaccine coverage, but they've really now put some data and statistics to it. Now, their report was based on epidemiological data, and again, it was published in JAMA Pediatrics as well, and indicated that the vaccine coverage among exposed people was far below the necessary amount to keep the virus in check. And that this has really been the first one to positively link the measles vaccination rates with this ongoing outbreak. So the way they did it, they examined case numbers reported by the California Department of Public Health, and the researchers estimate that the measles vaccination rate among the case clusters in California, Arizona, and Illinois was between 50 to 86%. Now remember, you need at least 92, hopefully 96 to 99% of people to be vaccinated to have herd immunity, but at least you have to remember 92% to have herd immunity. And since measles is highly contagious, that's especially important. So it's estimated that an infected individual in a population that's susceptible to measles, meaning underneath that herd immunity threshold, is going to spread the virus to between 11 to 18 additional people. Now, they used the same data resources and a health map team, and they found that if a population was fully vaccinated against the virus, the model predicted that one case of measles would give rise to only two additional cases over 70 days. Remember, in contrast, if only 60% of the population is vaccinated, more than 2,800 cases will occur over the same time period. So again, key takeaway, we've been talking about the low vaccine rates and potentially them contributing to this outbreak. This really gives us some numbers behind it and shows that to stop the current measles outbreak and future ones, we would have to do so through vaccination, the very tools we already have. And that as long as we see people under vaccinated, we're going to likely see more outbreaks. Now, this next study, fascinating for anyone who's a parent like myself or just really interested in children's health and children's development, and that is new research on brain activity in infants. And it suggested that their brains and our brains are designed to link images and sound when creating language. So not just the sound alone, not just the image, but that combination of the two. Now, this paper was published in the journal Cortex, and it was an international team of researchers in the UK and in Japan, and they literally examined electrical activity in the brains of 11-month-olds while they were in the initial stages of learning words. So they taught them some new words like kipi and moma and associated them with pictures of either a spiky shape or a rounded shape. And they showed that brain activity increased when the word matched with the shape shown, implying that the infants were linking those two things in their mind. But interestingly, activity between various parts of the brain used for language processing were even higher once the infants had associated the word with the image, and then they were shown an image that did not match the word, meaning that the children were not only learning the association, but identifying when the association didn't match. So it's great for anybody working with children, helping them develop their language. And remember, it's showing, not just teaching them words, but really showing them the significance of those words to help them learn and associate and build those associative connections that are going to serve them through the rest of their lives. Now, another study, this is important for myself as a physician, for, you know, everyone that I know who is making decisions about going to see doctors. And a lot of people always wonder, you know, do I go see the doctor who's been practicing for 40 years, who's older, or are you better off going to see the younger person who hasn't been practicing as long, but maybe more up to date on the really latest science? And so that was what this study was about. It was in the Journal of American Statistical Association, and used based on the Medicare database, and looked specifically at that. And they looked specifically at mortality rates amongst new and experienced surgeons. And they found that there was no statistical difference between patient mortality rates between those two groups. Now, they matched patients operated on by an experienced surgeon with ones from the newer surgeon, and found that they were really similar in terms of the mortality. So it's really a great starting point, and I'm sure as we now look at physician performance and outcomes, we're going to be seeing a lot more of this, as looking at outcomes of different specialists, different surgeons, and the importance of their experience. So now, next, they would want to look at what are the performance outcomes of these surgeons. If they have the same mortality, then what about complication rates and general performance? So look to see more of that as we learn more about how to tell which of our physicians are really our very best and which ones can be used to take care of different complications. Now, another study that is relevant for me as a mom is that of baby formula was associated with higher arsenic risk with newborns. And so this was a study, the first year study in the U.S. to study urinary arsenic in babies. It was out of Dartmouth College, and they found that formula-fed infants had higher arsenic levels than breastfed infants, and that breast milk itself contained very low arsenic concentrations. Now, they measured arsenic in home tap water, urine, and breast milk in New Hampshire. And they found that urinary arsenic was 7 times lower for breastfed infants than formula-fed infants. Now, the highest tap water arsenic concentrations far exceeded the arsenic concentrations found in powdered formula. But for the majority of the study's participants, both the powder and the water contributed to exposure. Now, the findings highlight that breastfeeding can reduce arsenic exposure, even at the relatively low levels of arsenic typically seen in the U.S. So a reminder, what is arsenic? It occurs naturally, it's in the bedrock, and it's a common contaminant in well water. It can cause cancer and other diseases, and early life exposure has been linked to increased fetal mortality, decreased birth weight, and even decreased cognitive function. So the EPA has set a maximum contaminant level for public drinking water, but private well water is not subject to regulation, and it's a primary water source in many of the rural parts of the U.S. So what's the key takeaway? You know, advise families using private wells to have your tap water tested for arsenic. If you have a new baby, then it may be good for them, especially if you're on well water, to consider breastfeeding as an alternative so that they don't have that higher level of arsenic exposure, which is especially important in the first 2 years of life. Now, there's another study. You know, as an ER doctor, we see people coming in doing all sorts of things to themselves and their bodies. And the National Poison Control Center revealed data from 2012 in the Annals of Emergency Medicine showing poisonings that were coming in and people who were calling in with poisonings. So they said that poisonings from prescription drugs are the leading cause of injury death in the U.S. and that poisoning from bath salts, synthetic marijuana, and laundry detergent pods are emerging threats to public health. So as soon as we learn how to take care of one form of poison, you can be sure that people start using a new one. So this data was based on data from the National Poison Data System, or NPDS. And they said that ER doctors are continually challenged with new poisons. And they had 2.2 million human poison exposures and calls in 2012 to poison control centers. Most of those didn't have to go to the ER, and the majority of the poisons that ended in death in 2012 were linked to pharmaceuticals, which most common being opioid painkillers. But they also noted bath salts as well as laundry pods being very dangerous to people as well. So there you have it, the top health news you'll need to know for this week. For more health news throughout the week, follow me on my Twitter at my handle at Dr. Daria. You're listening to Share Care Radio on Radio MD. Thanks for tuning in and stay well.